Good morning, everybody. If you will turn to page 794 in the Old Testament part of the Pew Bible. If you are using the large print Bible, it is on page 1032. In this chapter, Hosea the prophet is talking to his sinful people, Israel, trying to reach them through the history of their world. And the cities that he mentions, and I'm not good on pronunciation, but it's Admon and Zimbolim. They are cities that were destroyed when Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and they are a part of the history of Israel. Chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called them, the more they went from me, and that they kept sacrificing to the Baals and offering incense to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took him up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall return to the land of Egypt, and Assyria shall be their king, because they have refused to return to me. The sword rages in their cities. It consumes their oracle priests and devours because of their schemes. My people are bent on turning away from me. To the Most High they call, but he does not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Adnah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God, and no mortal, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord who roars like a lion. When he roars, his children shall come trembling from the rest. West, they shall come trembling like birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, says the Lord. Let us turn in our hymnal to page 830 and read responsively Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord who is good, whose steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom the Lord has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. Some wandered in the desert wastes, finding no way to a city in which to dwell. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then in their trouble, they cried to the Lord, who delivered them from their distress and led them by a straight way till they reached a city in which to dwell. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. For the Lord satisfies those who are thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. The Lord turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the wickedness of its inhabitants. The Lord turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water. The Lord lets the hungry dwell there, and they establish a city in which to live. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. They multiply greatly by the blessing of the Lord, who does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, trouble, and sorrow, the Lord pours contempt upon princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But the Lord raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness stops its mouth. Whoever is wise, give heed to these things. Consider the steadfast love of the Lord.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. It can be found on page 190 in your New Testament Pew Bible and on page 246 if you're using the large print Bible. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. As we continue our study of Luke, Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. If you're reading the large print Bible, you'll find that section on page 90. And if you're in the Pew Bible, on 70 in the New Testament section of that. Kathy Moton was the first to mention to me she recognized the image on the front of the bulletin. Power to you, Kathy. I don't know that anybody even looks at the bulletin much, but I'm glad you did. This is a barn, and it's... anybody know the mountain range behind it? Grand Tetons in Wyoming. A place I know and love, a place that's very familiar and loving to Jane as well. And somebody mentioned, and I forget who it was, that the barn is similar to a design they saw in the East, so perhaps it has some kind of significance for you as well. Clearly not the kind of barn that would have been in the Holy Land, but I wanted to put it in your context. So let us think about barns and places and people. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. "The land of a rich man produced abundantly. And he thought to himself, 'What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.'
But God said to him, "You fool! This very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Over these many years, as I've grown and matured in my Christian faith, I've realized that some of the most beneficial times I've ever spent have been in Bible study and book study groups with like-minded Christians, and in conversations with mentors in the faith, folks who were further along in their walk with Jesus. So knowing that, you probably won't miss the irony of me sharing a quote that I read in the book Devotional Classics for our Thursday night Bible study class. This comes from Teresa of Avila in her book, Interior Castle. God appeals to us through other good people, through sermons, or through the reading of good books. And I wonder if that might be true for you. Have you heard God speak through other good people, through sermons, or through the reading of good books? Well, I hope and pray that you have such personal means of grace by which God appeals to you and by which God speaks to your heart. Well, certainly one primary way that God speaks to us all is through Holy Scripture, the Bible. Well, this morning, I simply want to highlight one important idea of faith and one author whose writings speak very directly to me, and I hope to you as well, and that is C.S. Lewis. How many of you have ever read C.S. Lewis? Some. Okay. Well, the readings from Hosea, from Colossians, and from the Gospel of Luke all describe peoples and individuals who have been overcome with selfishness and greed. People who took themselves far too seriously and who didn't take God seriously enough. These stories move us to the basic question of the self. How do you see yourself, and how do you see your relationship with God? One of the best and most accessible books on theology that I have ever read is Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. Anybody read Mere Christianity? I know some of you have. Very good. Well, theologians call this book a work of apologetics. But for the rest of us, it is simply a book that helps us understand and articulate our Christian faith. I would recommend this book to each of you, no questions asked. And if you don't have a copy, I can probably get you one. So please listen to these words from C.S. Lewis. The moment you have a self at all, there is a possibility of putting yourself first, of wanting to be the center, wanting to be God, in fact. That was the sin of Satan, and that was the sin he taught the human race. Some people think the fall of man had something to do with sex, but that is a mistake. What Satan put into the heads of our remote ancestors was the idea that they could be like gods. They could set up on their own as if they had created themselves, that they could be their own masters, invent some sort of happiness for themselves outside of God, apart from God. And out of that hopeless attempt has come the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. The people of Hosea's time looked to themselves and to other gods to make them happy and to find meaning. They turned from God's teaching and they turned from God's love. So too, the people of the Colossian churches looked to worldly ways and worldly ideas to try to find meaning and happiness. The rich man in Jesus' parable sought security and ease in his property. his prosperity without recognizing that it was God who provided everything for him. So, how do you see yourself in relation to God? Many times when young people grow up and leave home and strike out on their own, there's often talk of finding themselves. I remember when I was a young park ranger at Grand Canyon trying to find my identity, trying to figure out who I was. It seemed like I expended a whole lot of energy in finding myself. Has that ever been your experience? Or the experience of someone you love? Please listen again to these words of C.S. Lewis. Your real new self, which is Christ's and also yours and yours just because it is His, will not come along as long as you are looking for it. It will come when you are looking for Him. Capital H. Does that sound strange? The same principle holds, you know, for more everyday matters. Even in social life, you will never make a good impression on other people until you stop thinking about what sort of impression you are making. Even in literature and art, no man who bothers about originality will ever be original, whereas if you simply try to tell the truth without caring two pence about how often it's been told before, you will, 9 times out of 10, become original without ever having noticed it. The principle runs through all life from top to bottom. Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death, death of your ambition and favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body. In the end, submit with every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will ever be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find Him. And with Him, everything else thrown in. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now, you must rid yourself of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its Creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. I leave you with one question, my sisters and brothers. Have you clothed yourself with the new self, that new self in Jesus Christ? I pray that it will be so for you. Christ is all and in all. Amen.